We know that light is composed of seven colours. We see that in, as we look at rainbows or see the dew on roses. But how many different colours can we see? Thousands, maybe. You go into a paint store and look at the colour charts and you look at all the different shades of yellow and so on. And we know that light can be bent through lenses such as these glasses or a microscope or a magnifying glass, a telescope, binoculars. And without my glasses I can't see very well, but I can see much more clearly with them on. We see beautiful things. But how do we see? Well, light is reflected by an object. So we look at that screen and we see the words. We look at the flowers and we see the different colours. And this light that is given, reflected from those flowers travels at 300,000 kilometres a second and reaches our eyes and then transmitted to the brain. So it's just amazing to think of that. And we know also that light is essential for life. And you plant a seed and the seed produces corn or flowers or whatever, but it's light that is essential for that life. But we don't really know what light is made up of. It could be a wave, it could be a particle, could be both. And where does light come from? Well, for us, we know that light comes from the sun, where there's nuclear reactions that are happening. And light comes from other stars. And light from the sun is reflected by the moon. And then, at night time, we want to create light, so we can burn a candle or light a kerosene lantern. And then along came electricity, and we had a torch, the incandescent light globe, halogen lights, fluorescent lights, and lately LED lights. Isn't that amazing? And we think, well, we know all about light. As a child, I did an experiment. I got a box, cardboard box, let the light shine in it, put the lid on, took it into a dark room, opened it up expecting to see light, but there was no light. So light needs to keep on shining and shining and shining. We may think we know a lot about light, but there is more to light than meets the eye. It is possible to have all the light that the world has to offer shining on us, but to still be in a dark place. And so we need to look at the Bible and what the Bible says about light and the light that Jesus brings into this world of darkness. So we know from our Genesis reading that light originated from God. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. No explanation given, just God said, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And we would agree, light is good. And at night we look at all the stars and we're amazed. How great is the universe? How great is the universe that God has made? And God has given light to the earth, we read. And light shows people where to go. When the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, God led them out of their slavery in Egypt into the promised land by a light. We read in Exodus 13:21. By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day and night. And in Psalm 119, verse 108, well-known verse, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So we need more light than is provided by the sun and the light that we can create these days. God's word says, well, his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we know that the star led the wise men to Jesus. And David, who went through many troubles, said in Psalm 18, verse 28, light, my God, turns my darkness and despair into light. So we could be in a place of deepest despair, and it feels like everything is dark around us, even though it's bright light. And God can bring his light into our life. And light overcomes fear. Again, David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So why not walk in the light? The people of Israel were at times rebellious and disobeyed God and turned to idols. But Isaiah says to the rebellious Israelites, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And then Jesus came to this earth to bring God's light into this world that so desperately was looking for a saviour, looking for a bright light to come into their dark world of oppression by the Romans, and all sorts of things were not good, and they were looking for a deliverer. And it just amazes me, reading John chapter 1, that Jesus, who made the world, who made light, the true light, came to the world to give light to the world. The light from the sun, the light from the moon, the light from the stars wasn't enough. God sent Jesus to shine upon the world. And we read in John chapter 1, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it or overcome it. Because if we are in darkness, we just don't understand the light that God wants to bring. And we need a revelation from God of what true light is. And these verses are very challenging in verses 10 to 12 of John chapter 1. Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And how distressing that must have been. And just think, if we poured out all our love, all that we can do for a child of ours, and that child rejected that love, how would we feel? But that's what happened. But there is good news. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, born of God. And that's the difference, isn't it? Receiving, believing what Jesus has done. And in John chapter 3, we read that light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what God has done has been done that what he has done has been done through God. So there's that dilemma that people have. They're living in sinful ways, worldly ways, and they're perhaps enjoying it. And they don't want their life to change. They don't want Christ to come into their life and shine his light on them for fear that their lives may have to change. But that's where we find peace. That's where we find hope. That's where we find fulfillment in life, when Jesus comes into our life and shows us the way to live. And in John 8:12, Jesus said to the people who were listening to him, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And in John 12:46, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." So let us come out of darkness and come into the bright light of Jesus. What a joy it is to know Jesus and to know that he lights the way for us, and that his light brings us life, spiritual life, eternal life. Yes, we don't want to be in darkness. A few years ago, when Helen and I were in Malaysia, we decided to explore a cave. And Helen's brother was there and his family, and we were walking through this cave, which is not like Jenolan caves or Narrakort caves that are brightly lit and you can see where you're going. There was no light in this cave, and a river or a creek was flowing through it. But we had torches, and the torches gave us light. At times we had to bend down, crouch down, and to get under and walk, continue on the path. And the path went on for about 3 kilometres, I think. But partway along, Helen said, "Oh, it'd be a great idea. Let's just turn off our lights. Let's experience darkness." And how dark it was. And we didn't want to remain in that darkness. We wanted to be in the light again, so that we could see, so that we could feel safe, so that we knew where we were going. And yet, people today want to walk in darkness. Are we willing to shine the light of Jesus into their life? In 1 John 1:5, John says, "God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from sin." And there's joy in fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers. And this is what we're doing today. We are just rejoicing with other believers that Jesus has come. And in 2 Corinthians 4:6, God said, "Let the light," the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But some people say, "Well, no, we don't want that light to shine in our life." Back in the time of Jesus, John recorded that was the case, and it's the case today. People say, "Well, I don't want Jesus interfering with my life. I want to live my own life." But how great it is to live in the light that Jesus shines on us. And what is to be our response to God's light that enlightens us and delights us? Well, we read in our reading this morning that John the Baptist came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. And that's still going on today. People today, even us, can testify we have seen the light. Let me show you the light. In Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus said to his followers, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And Ephesians 5:8-9, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord, but have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." And we find similar words in Galatians 5:16-25, but here, instead of mentioning light, Paul talks about the Holy Spirit. And I'll just read some of that this morning. Paul says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." And we might think, well, how can anybody live like that? How can that be satisfying? But sin traps people. Satan traps people into living in worldly ways. And then if Paul left it there, we'd be despairing. But he goes on. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." So there's a picture there. So often the Bible talks about light and darkness. Live in the light, don't live in darkness. Here Paul talks about the sinful nature and the nature we have if we are filled by the Spirit and live by the Spirit. I know which I would prefer, how I'd prefer to live. And Philippians 2:15, Paul says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." We can be stars. We can be shining. And 1 Peter 2:9, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Called out of darkness into his light. It's God that did it. And we respond to what God is calling us to do. And then we have our great hope that is mentioned in Revelation, Book of Revelation, a city where the glory of God gives light, and the Lamb of God is its lamp, and the nations will walk by its light. God will give them light. We look forward to that day. And so, in conclusion, what is light? Well, we know about light from scientific studies, and that is good, and through science we've been brought many great things. and our ways have been enlightened. But that's not the end of the story, because we need to know what is meant by the light of God, the light of Jesus, and the light of Jesus shining into our lives, and our lives reflecting the light of Jesus into the lives of other people in this dark world. We see Christmas lights, and that can bring joy. We just walk around the corner and see, we used to see, I don't know if they're on this year, all these lights. And down Willyaroo, the big light display. But do the lights that we see that bring us joy remind us of the true light that has come into the world? Are we filled with hope and joyful expectation? Or is our life filled with despair? Why not come into that light? And if we have come into that light and know the light of Jesus in our life, well, how bright is our light? Are we walking in the light? Or does our vision need to be corrected as we look into the Word of God, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path? May God bless us this morning and encourage us to live by His light.